We're going to be leaving the life of Isaac, and we're going to look at especially the life of Jacob. Abraham has died, and Isaac's getting old now. As we pick up the story now, when the two boys, the twin boys, Esau and Jacob, are about 40 years old, so they're not young. Esau has married a couple of women. He's got multiple marriages already. These two women were Hittites in background. They were heathen, and they weren't very helpful as far as Esau was concerned spiritually, and it really upset his folks. And so that's kind of the background. We're going to start reading in chapter 27, verse 1. Came to pass when Isaac was old, his eyes were so dim that he could not see, that he called Esau his older son, and said to him, "My son?" And he answered him, "Here I am." Then he said, "Behold now, I am old. I do not know the day of my death. Now therefore, please take your weapons, your quiver and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me. And make me savory food, such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, my soul may bless you before I die." So, this is the scene now that's taking place. Isaac is old. It was customary for the father to pass on a blessing to the children. The oldest son got a special blessing. And Isaac says to his son Esau, "Now you go out in the field and hunt and kill some game, some live game." Not sure what he was hunting exactly. It may have been antelope. I'm not sure what it was he was hunting that day. "Bring back the game," Isaac says, "and I just want to have that delicious meal that I know you can make. And when I'm through eating, then I'm going to bless you. I'm going to pass on this family blessing to you. You're the oldest son. You get a special blessing." And so Esau goes out to hunt. Now, Esau was kind of a rugged outdoor man, very different from Jacob. Jacob was kind of the quiet type. He preferred to stay more around his mother. He was really kind of his mother's son. Even though he's 40 years old, he still stayed close to his mother. She had a lot of influence on him. And the sad thing is, there was favoritism. The father, Isaac, preferred the older boy. And Rebekah showed favoritism toward Jacob, the younger son. So Esau now has gone out hunting. And he's going to get some game. He's kind of the rugged outdoor type, out hunting. Just hearing this morning about a couple that we know who've shot bears this fall. They've been out bear hunting. I've never done any of that. I take it you don't want to get too close to them while they're still alive. And Esau was that kind of guy. Fall, he'd be out hunting. Certainly, if he were in Colorado, he'd be out elk hunting pretty soon. And he's gone hunting to get the game. Now, Rebekah overhears the whole thing. And we're going to pick the story up then and see what happens next. Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to Esau, his son. Esau went to the field to hunt game and to bring it. So Rebekah spoke to Jacob, her son, saying, "Indeed, I heard your father speak to Esau, your brother, saying, 'Bring me game and make savory food for me, that I may eat it and bless you in the presence of the Lord before my death.' Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to what I command you. Go now to the flock and bring me from there two choice kids of the goats, and I will make savory food from them for your father, such as he loves. Then you shall take it to your father, that he may eat it that he may bless you before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, look, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I'm a smooth-skinned man. Perhaps my father will feel me, and I will seem to be a deceiver to him, and I shall bring a curse on myself and not a blessing. But his mother said to him, let your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice and go get them for me. And he went and got them and brought them to his mother. And his mother made savory food such as his father loved. And Rebekah took the choice clothes of her older son, Esau, which were with her in the house, put them on Jacob, her younger son. She put the skins of the kids of the goats on his arms and on the smooth part of his neck. She gave the savory food and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. So there's a conspiracy. She overhears, and she doesn't want Esau to get the blessing. She wants Jacob to get this blessing. And so she, right away, she's planning and scheming now how to get the blessing for Jacob, not for Esau. So she says, she makes this plan. She says, all right now, Jacob, here's what we're going to do. I want you to go out to the flock and pick out a couple of young, tender goats, and kill them, slaughter them, bring them here. And I'll cook the food. Now, I know what your father likes. I know what he enjoys. I'll cook up the meat. It'll be delicious. He'll enjoy it. And you're going to go in and you're going to present yourself as Esau, and you're going to get the blessing. Well, Jacob says, wait a minute. Now, I'm not like Esau. Esau was a very hairy man. I don't know. But he had a lot of body hair, apparently. And when he was born, he came out of the womb hairy. It was kind of unusual. And so much so, they named him Esau, which means hairy. And so Jacob says, look, my dad will catch on to this whole thing. Because he'll want me to come near, and he's going to want to embrace me, and he'll feel me, and he'll say, I'm smooth-skinned. He'll say, you're not Esau. Esau's got a lot of hair on his body, and you're trying to deceive me. And then he says, he'll get angry with me. He'll curse me instead of blessing me. And Rebekah says, listen, you just do what I tell you. I'll take any curse that's involved, and you do what I say. Now, he's a grown man. He's 40 years old. But she had a tremendous influence still on him. It's kind of amazing. He should have stood up to her and he should have said, look, I'm not going to deceive my father. He's an old man. He's blind. Am I going to go in there and deceive him in his old age? But he didn't. He let his mother. It shows how much influence she had in his life. And mothers have a lot of influence. And in this case, this is a low spot in Rebekah's life. She's been a good wife in many ways, and yet this is a time when really the old nature of Rebekah took over. And she became a real schemer here, even with her own husband deceiving him in his old age. That's a dirty trick. And so she's scheming, and she says to Jacob, just do what I say. So he goes out to, and he picks out a couple of choice young kids and kills them, and they skin the carcasses and bring the meat to his mother, and she cooks it up. She knows what Isaac likes, and this is a delicious meal that he will enjoy. One of his last meals in his life, she thought, perhaps. And she wants that blessing. And she says, you know, we're going to fool him. He won't know. She took some of the goat skins, wrapped them around, tied them apparently on his arms and his over his hand like, And even, I guess, put some on the back of his neck. And so that he, if he felt them, he'd feel the hairy skin of a goat. So Esau must have been quite a hairy man. Now Jacob, they, does all this. So here you got the scene now. Isaac is sitting there. He's blind. He's waiting for his oldest son to come back from the hunt. He's waiting for that meal. He's no doubt thinking about the blessing he's going to pronounce on his oldest son. And Jacob now comes. And in verse 18 it says, so he went to his father and said, my father. And he said, his father said, here I am. Who are you, my son? And Jacob said to his father, I'm Esau, your firstborn. I've done just as you told me. Please arise, sit, and eat of my game, that your soul may bless me. What a liar. And I imagine his heart was kind of beating a little bit fast. He must have felt a lot of guilt. I'm Esau, your son. You're a liar, Jacob. And the old man here is perplexed. And he says, this is something funny going on here. Isaac said to his son, how is it you've come in so quickly, my son? Why, you just went out hunting, and you usually the hunt takes quite a bit of time to find the game. And you're already back? Now, Jacob now comes up with a second lie. He says, well, the Lord your God brought it to me. God gave me success in the hunt. And so I had good success. I'm back earlier than you thought. Then he goes on to say, Isaac says to him, please come near. You can imagine, the old man is perplexed. What is going on here? Things don't seem right. Come near that I may feel you, my son, whether you are really my son Esau or not. He said, I want to feel you. You know, it doesn't sound like Esau. Come here and let me feel you. I want to feel your arms, and I want to feel, are you really Esau? Because he knows Esau, he's known him since he was a baby, he's been a hairy man. And so Jacob goes near to him. And it says Jacob went near to Isaac, and he felt him. Now Isaac says, well, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. So here's some more deception. He draws near. He's so close now, he's practically right next to his father. His father's reaching out and feeling him. And he says, well, it feels like Esau. But the voice is the voice of Jacob. Must be Esau. Maybe in my old age I'm not hearing well anymore, and maybe I'm a little confused, but it must be Esau. And so he goes and eats, and he blesses it. Now, he pronounces then this blessing upon him, and he says, in verse 24, he says to him again, are you really my son Esau? And Jacob lies to him again. He says, hey, I am. I'm your son Esau. You felt me, and you know that I'm your son. Quit worrying about it. And so then he said, bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's game, so that my soul may bless you. So he brought it near to him, and he ate, and he brought him wine, and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, come near my son and kiss me. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his clothing and blessed it. He smelled Esau's clothing. Esau was an outdoor man, and they didn't take baths as often as we do, and there was some body odor, and Isaac recognized, well, it smells like my son Esau. And he says there, as he blesses him, surely the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Therefore may God give you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you, and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren, and let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you. And blessed are those who bless you. Here's the blessing. The blessing of the father upon the oldest son. And he promises that he will be blessed materially. Other peoples will serve him. His own brothers will serve him. He will be the leader. The blessing of the father. Now, one lesson or two from this. One is the terribleness of deception and lying. And I want to go back to Ephesians chapter 4, and where the scripture is very strong concerning this. He says that we should put away lying. Therefore, putting away lying, this is verse 23, or rather 25, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, or members of one another. Put away lying. And here you have a case of just multiplied lies. Deception. One lie leads to another. And so once he embarked on this course of deceiving his father, it was just one lie after another to deceive his father. Very, very sad. And one of the things as Christians, now Paul is writing to Christians, he says, put away lying. Lying is a very basic part of our nature. By nature, we're all liars. In fact, they came out with a study recently, a university study, in which they were amazed. They said, we've gone into all kinds of cultures and peoples everywhere, and it seems that lying and cheating are just endemic in the human race. It's just part of being human. And they were surprised. Well, the Bible says, don't be surprised. That's the human nature. That's the old nature. That's the sinful nature. Jesus said of the devil, he's the father of lies. And so when we began to follow the devil, we fell into deception. We were deceived by him. Eve was deceived by him. And she in turn became a liar. And the human race has been marked by lying ever since. So when we get saved, we have to make a determined effort. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to deceive. I'm not going to cheat. I'm going to tell the truth. And so that's part of putting down that old nature and of beginning to allow the new nature, which is marked by truth, dominate in our lives. But this is a case where, of a person, Rebecca, who knew better, who must have felt very guilty. And here she has encouraged her son to lie. Both of them involved in this deception, which is very sad. So that we as Christians have to determine, I'm going to be marked by truth. I'm not going to deceive. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to tell half-truths. I'm going to be someone who's marked by truth. The Lord Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. We think of him, and you can't imagine Jesus lying to his disciples. You can't imagine him deceiving them. He was marked by truth. And we, as we have him as our model, say, Lord, help me to become a person who's marked by truth, not by lies, not by deception, which only is very destructive in our lives, in our relationships with others. One of the things that's very hard we see with some couples who get saved is to develop a spirit of trust. They come from backgrounds maybe where there was a lot of cheating and dishonesty and unfaithfulness, and they tend to, after they get saved, to still question and wonder. The wife doesn't come in quite when she said she would. Well, maybe she's gotten involved with another man. Or he's late. He's late coming in from work. I wonder if he's with some other woman. And instead of being marked by truth and honesty, our lives have been marked by deception and lies and dishonesty. And so as Christians, when you get saved, now this is something I've got to work on. I must determine, God helping me, to be marked by truth. Put away lying, he says. Satan is the father of lies and deception. And Rebecca here, it's a sad chapter really in her life, because she encouraged Jacob to lie and deceive his father, his own father, who had given him life, and who had cared for him as he was growing up. He stood there and he lied repeatedly to his father. Put away lying, Scripture says. Another lesson you learn from this is, don't rely on your feelings. And that was where Isaac had a problem. He said, come near and let me feel you. And he says, well, it feels like Esau. But my mind, my brain says, not really Esau, the voice isn't Esau's, it's Jacob's. But he let his feelings control what he did. And I just want to say that a lot of religion today is marked by feeling. You want to have a feel-good religion. Now, let me say, all religion can give people feelings. The devil loves to give people feelings. Now, if you go into a Muslim mosque, for example, and you see hundreds of people on their faces praying toward Mecca, you're going to sense a tremendous amount of religious feeling. It's going to be very intense. They're sincere. And they're sincerely wrong. And regardless of the feelings you have, you can be very deceived if you're going to make your decisions based on your feelings. If you're going to say something is true because it makes me feel good, you're just playing right into the devil's hands, because he can make you feel good. He can give you religious experiences. And he can lead you down the wrong path completely. There was a woman some years ago, we were witnessing to here, a Mormon. And her brother had come to know the Lord, and he said, you know, my sister's really into Mormonism, and I wish that you could talk to her. And so we went and visited with her. She was a college girl going to Brigham Young University. And we talked to her. We went over the scriptures. We pointed out to her, for example, that Jesus, it really is the Son of God, uniquely the Son of God, and that salvation is by grace through faith and not works. Baptism doesn't save you, and so forth. And she became more and more uncomfortable. And finally, she said, she felt she was back into a corner, and she said, well, I don't care what you say. I know what I believe is true. That I've had the burning in the bosom. Now, what did she mean by that? Well, she'd had this religious feeling. And Mormons will often talk about that. They'll say, well, I've had the burning in the bosom, which means they've had a real religious feeling, an emotional feeling, and they're saying that validates my experience and that validates what I believe because I'm trusting my feeling. That's what she said. And in this case, Isaac trusted his feelings and he was deceived. Faith is not trusting your feelings. Feelings are looking within yourself to validate what you're believing. Faith looks at God. And faith believes God, not feelings. Now when God came to Abraham and he said, you're going to have a son, he didn't say to Abraham, now don't you feel like you're going to have a son? You know? Don't you really feel good about it? Don't you feel you're going to have a son? Abraham might have said, you know, I feel like an old man. It doesn't seem possible to me, depending on my feelings. But he looked at God. And he was fully persuaded that what God had promised he was able to perform. Faith does not look at myself. It does not look at my feelings. It looks at God. It trusts God. If you're saved here today, it's because you come to the point where you say, I'm going to believe what God says. I'm not going to trust my feelings. I'm not going to look at myself. I'm going to look at God and be fully persuaded what he promised he's able to perform. But that's just a little side road there when it comes to the matter of feelings. Don't be deceived by feelings. Dear old Isaac relied on his feelings. I'm sure his mind was saying, hey, look, that voice, that's Jacob's voice. That's not Esau. He says he's Esau, but that's Jacob's voice. But then he says, oh my, I felt his arms. He's hairy. I'll trust my feelings. And so he blessed him. Now, lots of time it's all over and Jake gets out of there. Esau comes back from the hunt. And we go on to read the story. And it says, Now it happened as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, and Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. He also made savory food and brought it to his father and said to his father, let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that your soul may bless me. So here Esau comes in. He finally got his game. He comes in, he's dressed it, he's cooked it, it's taken a while. Now it's ready. He comes into his father and he says, here's your food, Dad. You know, I had good success in my hunt and here it is. I made it. Now I want you to eat and bless me. And poor Isaac. His father Isaac said to him, who are you? Who are you? So he said, I'm your son, your firstborn Esau. And Isaac trembled exceedingly and said, who? Where is the one who hunted game and brought it to me? I ate all of it before you came, and I have blessed him, and indeed he shall be blessed. And Isaac says, what's going on here? I've already eaten. I've already blessed the one who brought the food, and he realizes he's been deceived. It must have been a terrible blow to him at that moment to feel, my own son deceived me in my old age. He's come to me, and he's deceived me. He lied to me, and I've blessed him. And now the older son comes, and he says, I want to bless him. So Isaac is upset, and Esau is really upset. Esau, when he heard the words of his father, he cried with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me, me also, O my father." This was very important, to have the blessing of your father. But Isaac said, "Your brother came with deceit and has taken away your blessing." And Esau said, "Is he not rightly named Jacob?" Which means supplanter. "For he has supplanted me these two times. He's taken away my birthright. And now look, he's taken away my blessing." And he said, "Have you not reserved a blessing for me? Can't you bless me? Give me some blessing. Isn't there anything left you can bless me with?" And so Isaac answered and said to Esau, "Indeed, I have made him your master and all his brethren. I have given to him as servants. With grain and wine I have sustained him. What shall I do now for you, my son?" And Esau said to his father, "Have you only one blessing, my father? Bless me. Me also, my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said to him, "Behold, your dwelling shall be of the fatness of the earth, of the dew of heaven from above. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother, and it shall come to pass when you become restless, and you shall break his yoke from your neck." So Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father blessed him. And Esau said to him in his heart, "The days of mourning for my father are at hand." He's about to die. He's an old man. "Then I will kill my brother Jacob." And the words of Esau, her older son, were told to Rebekah. Maybe one of the servants heard him. He's so angry, maybe talking to himself, saying, "Well, when my father's dead, I don't want to kill my brother when he's alive. As soon as he's dead, I'm going to kill that rascal, that deceiving, lying rascal. I'm going to kill it." And some of the servants know that heard, and they told Rebekah, the mother. Now she's really agitated and says the words of Esau, her older brother, son, were told to Rebekah. So she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said to him, "Surely your brother Esau comforts himself concerning you by intending to kill you. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice, arise, flee to my brother Laban in Haran, and stay with him a few days until your brother's fury turns away, until your brother's anger turns away from you, and he forgets what you have done to him. Then I will send and bring you from there. Why should I be bereaved also of you both in one day?" And Rebekah said to Isaac, "I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob takes a wife of the daughters of Heth like these, who are the daughters of the land, what good will my life be to me?" So now Rebekah realizes she's got a big problem. How's she going to handle it? First of all, she makes Jacob willing to leave. She warns him. She tells him, "Now, you know, your brother hates you, and he's determined to kill you, so you're going to have to get out of here. You have to leave. Go back to my family in Haran, where I came from, and stay with them for a little while until he gets over this. In time, you'll probably get over it, and then you can come back." Now, she didn't know, but when she sent him away, she would never see him again. It was years, it wasn't a few days, and she never saw her son Jacob again. Lying and deception is costly. And it cost Rebekah. It really cost her spending these years with Jacob. And then she goes to Isaac. And she says, "You know, Esau has married these women of the land, or heathen women." And she said, it's upsetting to us both. And let's send Jacob. back to my family. Get a wife there. And Isaac, he'd done the same thing. This is what his father Abraham had done. And so Isaac, it says, agreed. And in chapter 28, we go on and read now, this is what's going to happen. Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said to him, "You shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's brother, and take yourself a wife from there of the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may be an assembly of peoples, and give you the blessing of Abraham to you and your descendants with you, that you may inherit the land to which in which you are a stranger, which God gave to Abraham." So Isaac sent Jacob away, and he went to Padan Aram to Laban the son of Bethuel, the Syrian, the wife, or rather the brother of Rebekah, the mother of Jacob and Esau. Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padan Aram to take himself a wife from there, and that he blessed him. And he gave him a charge, saying, "You shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan." And that Jacob had obeyed his father and his mother and had gone to Padan Aram. Also Esau saw that the daughters of Canaan did not please his father Isaac. So Esau went to Ishmael and took Mahalah, the daughter of Ishmael, Abram's son, the sister of Nebaioth, to be his wife in addition to the wives he had. So Esau now is trying to repair some damage. And the way he does it is, he says, "Well, I'll marry, a daughter of Ishmael, who was the son of Abraham that was sent away, the son of Hagar." And so he did that and took another wife, which didn't really solve any problem at all. So Jacob's on his way. And we're just going to touch on this kind of quickly. He goes on his way. He's leaving from Beersheba, and he's going north. He's got a long ways to go all the way up to Syria. And he's traveling north by himself and probably feeling quite discouraged and lonely. When you're leaving your family, you don't know when you'll ever come back. When your brother hates you, it's not the ideal situation as you're leaving home. And it says that he went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. He came to a certain place and stayed there all night. Because the sun had set, he took one of the stones of that place, put it at his head. He lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed. And behold, a ladder or a stairway was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. Behold, the Lord stood above it and said, "I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I'll give it to you and your descendants. And your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. And in you and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you." And Jacob arose from his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." And he was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." And we're going to stop with the reading there. Now Jacob, as you look at him, there are some things that are not very attractive about him. His cheating, his lying, and so forth. But basically, he's a man that is marked by faith. And so he's listed in Hebrews 11, by faith, Jacob. And you know, the truth is sometimes the character of Christians isn't always what you could hope it would be. And somebody's looking at Esau, you might say, well, he was a little more forthright and upright and honest and manly in some ways than Jacob was. But Jacob was marked by faith. And here he has this encounter now with God, where in a special way the God of his father becomes his God. This is a meeting with God. And each one of us has to have that experience. We have to have this time when we meet with God. When the God of our fathers becomes our God. If we come from a Christian family. And it wasn't enough for Jacob to say, well, Abraham was a believer and Isaac, my father, was a believer and Jehovah God was their God. He needed this God to be his God in a personal way. And this is the place now where he has this personal encounter with God, and the God of his father and the God of his grandfather becomes his God. And we'll notice that a little more. But I just want to ask a question, you know, has there been a time in your life when you've had this experience that Jacob did of meeting with God and taking this God into your life and making him your God and hearing his promises to you? And that was the experience Jacob had at Bethel. He says, this is an awesome place. This is where I have experienced and met God. And the God of my father has become my God. Hope you can say you've had that experience too. And that you can look back to a time and a place when you could say, that was where I really came to know God, where I accepted him, when he became my God. And I could say, I know that I'm his child. And he's promised to be with me and never to leave me. Wonderful thing to be saved. And this was the place where Jacob really came to know God.